We've got Glenn, David, and Andrew on, and I'm Gideon, and we're here to do the chocolate wheel. So spin the wheel.
Okay, here I go. There it goes. It's going round. And what's it coming up with? Okay, first topic. Here, let's land it, and we've got to go with it. We've got to do it. Here it comes. How can you be a group BA and be popular?
Oh, no. In order to be a good BA, you have to be popular. How are you going to be convincing people to do what you require to be done unless you are popular with them? They'll just ignore you and roll over top of you.
Steady on, Glenn. We're not saying how can you get ahead and be popular. How can you be a good BA? And
this is not winning.
If you're not a good BA, you don't have a head.
Well, no. I'm sorry, Glenn. I'm going to land on the other side of this. You know, the thing about being a good BA is you at some point have to surface, what should we say, uncomfortable truths.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you can bring up those inconvenient, unpopular truths and still be popular by telling them how they can still be getting what they require out of this.
Yes,
no one wants something unless what's in it for me. And as a BA, you're popular by showing them what's in it for you.
Yes. Sometimes your doctor tells you,
how to make friends and influence people.
If you would listen, sometimes your doctor tells you that you've got cancer, but you still trust him, and you need to actually develop a trust relationship, and that's separate from popularity with your.
My point, David.
That's not proving your point.
Unpopular truths, and still have their complete and undivided devotion because you are popular.
Well, I think trust and popular, as David points out, are quite different. I mean, they can be the same, but they don't have to be the same. And the question is, how can you be a good BA and be popular? Not how can you be a good BA and be trusted? I think that's a question that no one would ever think to ask.
It's a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, go on, David. Yeah.
It's a balancing act. I mean, I agree, actually, with Glenn. I was being facetious. You do
what?
Have to
David
be
being facetious?
You do have to be liked. You do have to be engaging. And if that's popular, I accept it. You need to get a footstep into your business stakeholders so they're able to communicate with you and trust you to talk to you about what their real concerns are and not being defensive. But sometimes you just need to let the popular thing go. You need to be reliable and trustful more than popular. I don't know where the balance is.
Well, look, popularity is being liked or admired by many people. Not one or two, many people, okay? And that's what a BA needs. They don't need just the IT or just the business people. The BA
needs a whole cohort of people
to like and, in my case, admire me to be able to get your job done.
Well, yeah, but at what price? What are you going to give up in order to be popular? What have you got to go? You got to just tell everyone everything's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, those are good openers. Here's a picture of my dog. That's a good start. That's the first few minutes. But after that, when you're into 3 weeks down there, and suddenly you're popular with everyone. Now, I've known VAs who are popular. I've known them because I've had to pick up their projects after they've gone. And what a mess. What a mess. Because they've just been coasting along on their popularity and doing not much. And what they are doing has not been very good. But because they've been so popular, no one really looked. No one really cared. They all just felt so good about the whole thing. And that's the danger.
Smoke and mirrors.
I wouldn't say it's not. They haven't gone out to actively deceive people. They've just worked on being popular. And they've done it very well, and the project has suffered. And at the end of the day, the people they work with have suffered. Not right away, but they have suffered because the whole thing did not give them what they wanted. So I think it can be dangerous to be popular or to put too much weight on being popular. Mm.
But then on the other side, actually, if you are not popular, they're not going to achieve anything. So all these great things that need to be done, but you're not popular, everyone hates you, and so they're just going to go out of their way to undermine you and go in the opposite direction, and no matter what.
So Glenn, I point out.
I'd like to hear what David has to say. Glenn, I'm sure he's going to agree.
I'll put my two cents in on this one. So for me, with crucial conversations, You wanna have a safe environment where you can disagree and still maintain the relationship. So if you can do that, you can still be popular, but you can still give them the truth.
They're trusted.
But unfortunately, Gideon, if you put 2 cents in, you're not gonna have much change left over.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, look, I think we may have stumbled onto a good topic for later. That's good, but we've got to move on. So, okay, I'm going to spin the wheel. Here it comes. What is our next topic? And it is coming up. It's going well. Who is it? This is an interesting one. This is tricky. This is real BA stuff here. The difference between specifications and requirements. Very fine.
This is where a business analyst goes wrong and provides the solution instead of what the user requires. Therefore, we build the specification against it instead of finding out what our user, our stakeholder, really needs.
David, come back. Hit him hard. Come back.
Glenn, you listen to me. This is a textbook answer, and life is a little bit more difficult than that. And we know it's more difficult that because we always get involved with, say, vendors and stuff, and then we get used to how they like to receive information, and the border between requirements and specification gets a little bit blurry. Maybe we get a little bit used to writing things in JSON format. Maybe we get a little bit used to writing things things in Excel spreadsheets that are designed by the vendor that are receiving exactly the information they want to hear.
I agree. And we do not supply what the vendor wants. We tell the vendor what our user needs so that they have room to be more
Let me step in here. We want the vendor
to be imaginative and give us requirements. We don't tell the vendor the requirements. We tell them what we need, not what our customers want.
We tell them what they need. We then let the vendor
be imaginative and come up with the requirements.
What we've uncovered here, I think, is we've uncovered the technical
BA.
It sounds like you're talking about... We've got the business BA, which is what Glenn is talking about, and then you've got the technical BA, often owned by the developer. was actually used to write the specs, right, based on the requirements from, you know, the business BA. And where this becomes contentious is where you don't have a technical BA and the developer or the project looks to the business BA to write the specs. That's when, if there's no one there to actually do it, then the good old BA, you know, anxious to help, anxious to be popular, says, yep, yeah, I'll do that.
Oh,
I'll
start writing the specs. Not and the then, popular BA.
Yeah, that's right. That's what will happen. And for any BAs, that's all they want is to be popular. And they've got good reasons to do it. But look, that's off topic. So that's where the difference, I think, falls in the technical BA or the business BA.
Well, it's funny because I've always denied the existence of a business and technical BA. I've always, in job interviews, said there's a BA. But maybe you're convincing me that there's two different
things. I'm business convinced. Analyst should not be doing the technical job. A business analyst is not the solution architect.
Well, in a perfect world, yes. You know, great separation.
Oh, hold on.
Whatever.
I
but the
am
BA also, the BA, the BA often has got to, you know, wear many hats and has to step over lines and has to help them smooth things along and can find themselves.
We're not talking about the BA project manager, are we?
We're talking about
We're getting there.
Then we've got the BA project manager is the solution architect and the enterprise architect who becomes the full stack developer.
When you've got the BA starting to write the specifications, because they're being nice about it and they're being helpful and they're getting this project moving and getting coming along, the challenge can come when people start to see them as requirements, right?
Yes.
Because the BA is writing them, so they figure they must be requirements, when in fact they're actually specifications.
Yes.
And that's where the problem can arise.
Yes, and we do not want that. We want the vendor to come up with novel ideas. Things that the business analysts and our
users just talk over him, David.
Do not
I
think
can cut him.
Glenn, I agree with you in the fact that we don't even need to talk vendor here. We just need to talk this old idea of developer versus analyst programmer. Because what happens, what I've seen often now is that programmers aren't doing any analysis. They're not saying, here's the requirements, here is how I can do it this way, I can do it this way, and this way. How does it, what's happening is configurators, and this is what we're talking a lot about these days, configurators, whatever platform you want to configure it, is saying, unless I receive it in exactly the way that I want to receive it, which is basically step by step instructions within my job, I'm not going to accept it. And that forces the BA more into the specification.
Oh, David, I love you, David. Oh, yes. That is so much. Our developers are becoming lazier by the moment. They want everything handed to them on a silver plate. They do not want to provide the novel anymore.
No, and they call themselves
analysts. It didn't say that, so we didn't give it to you. Instead of, hold on, how about if we do it this way?
I think it's time to spin the wheel. Spin the wheel.
We've done this.
Okay, here it is. Here's it going around and it's gonna, I didn't hit it very fast, but here it comes very quickly on to how do you know you are on a disaster project?
Oh yeah, I call these the death walks. The death walks.
Oh yeah.
What are the signs?
Well, the signs will
I seem to be buying everyone coffee every morning.
Yeah. No, that's
the
a sign.
The project manager is on Yammer or whatever the local bulletin board for jobs is every morning.
Yeah.
So don't disturb him between 8:30 and 9:30 because he's looking for another job.
Yeah. This is what I ask in a job interview. If I'm a contractor, if I'm sitting down in a job interview, I try to work out if the project I'm just about to sign up for is a death march. And there's things you can actually ask. And the most simplest thing is that, this project that you've got, is there a project manager? Is there a business case? There's not a business case. Where are you up to? Have you got a sort of a structure? And you can ask all of these questions even before you join the project, if you're one of, like me, a contracting bear, to work out if it's going to be a disaster. And I've made a point in my career, if those questions are wrong, is to run. To run because it'll be
a
disaster.
Yep. No, I agree. And I've got a different model here. Different three things to be asked. Where you go, this is, and sadly, these are the things you only learn after you've been in the project. It's hard to. You will not get straight answers for this coming in. But one, is it technically complex? Two, is it politically complex?
Oh yes, politically complex.
And three, is it underfunded? Right? And if you've got any two of those three, then you're in trouble. Right? But sadly, you only know after you've been in there for a while, after you've bedded in there, that's when you learn which of those two, or possibly all three, that you've got to deal with.
I agree with you. I do ask my questions, but I've left interviews and decided not to go. But actually, my biggest disaster is going into a project thinking I'm okay and finding one of those things you just said is wrong. Like, also, the business owner is not established, the finances aren't established. You almost sold the job sometimes and get in there. And somehow the BA always gets the blame when the project goes awry.
Yes, and with the business owners, how far up the chain are they? Is it a junior person in the organization who cannot make any decisions because they've got to refer up all the time? That project's going to fail. But if they're high enough up that they can make decisions, and then, hold on, yes, our project manager is the CEO. In other words, they're not going to have any time for this project anyway. So it's going to fail.
Yeah, time to spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
Keep it going. Yeah, here it goes. It's coming around again. It's coming around. I give it a good spin. We need a better one. We need a better one than the last one. Come around. Oh.